Life is full of routine. Many of us have our days and our weeks down to our typical routine. We know the day on which we do laundry. We know the days that we have to bring our children to practice. We know the times of the day when it's time to sit down and to eat. And life is just so full of routines. Our life is a life of routine because that's life. Life is so similar for us in the things that we do week after week. And our life as believers is often reflected also in the life of unbelievers. They also do the same things. They do laundry and they make dinner and they feed children and they change diapers and another diaper. And life is full of routine. Today we will see that Solomon gives us this broad view of our lives. And as he does this, he's going to point us away from ourselves and he's going to point us toward the one who gave us that life. You see, Solomon is beginning to wrap up the book of Ecclesiastes here. And as Solomon is wrapping up the book, he's going to use familiar words, but more and more in a more pointed way. He's going to point us towards God. Remember, in the beginning of the book, he spoke in shadowy ways, ways that caused us to reflect and to think about God and compare life under the sun with life being focused on God. But now here, as he begins to wrap up this book, he points us more and more toward God. Today we will consider Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, under this theme, that's life. Our lives are important to us, and they should be. But as we consider some of life and some of the experiences of life, there's always that question, do my experiences reflect that God loves me? Or do my experiences reflect that maybe God is angry with me? If God loves me, why do I suffer so much? If God loves me, why does that stack of bills go unpaid? If God loves me, why is my life so messed up? Solomon understands these questions. He understands that often people take their experiences and they judge their relationship with God based on those experiences, based on the providences that we are given in life. Look at verses 1 and 2. But as they laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hands of God, whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. Solomon begins in an important spot. He wants to tell us that so much of our life is going to look the same as the life of the unbelievers. But he begins with this warning. You cannot judge your standing upon God or with God based upon what happens to you in this life. He says, it happens the same. It happens to the righteous and the unrighteous, to those who sacrifice and those who don't, to those who take an oath and those who shun an oath. Life happens to all of us. And Solomon begins there. He begins with reminding us that the experiences of the believer and the unbeliever are so similar in many ways. We share trials. We share struggles. We share the desire to be good parents, the desire to do good at our jobs. And Solomon says, we can't judge whether we're in a right relationship with God based on those experiences, because they're the same. They're the same for the unbeliever. The same event happens. Let me give you an example. When I was in college, I owned this duplex in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And one night I came home from my very lovely girlfriend's house, and I got inside the house and there was smoke. I go into the basement. A basement is a part of a building that's like a room that's under the building. So I go into the basement and there's smoke rolling in the basement and I see flames. So you call 911. We got the other guys out of the house that didn't see this while they were home. And we were displaced for a number of weeks. I was living at a hotel with a friend. Other friends were, some were living with my pastor. Some were living with other friends. And our life was just turned upside down by this experience. I remember going into class one day and my professor asking me how I was doing, and I was struggling a bit. I just had a fire at my home, and he sat me down after class and he shared this portion of Ecclesiastes with me. And he said, Nathan, I want you to know that you cannot say that this is a judgment or this is not a judgment. It is just something that happens. Because believers have fires in their homes, and unbelievers have fires in their homes. These things happen to both the wicked and the righteous. And that's true, isn't it? Both the wicked and the righteous, our lives are filled with struggles. Our lives are filled with trials. So Solomon begins here. He says, the life of the wicked and the life of the righteous, they do look similar in many ways, even though they are so different. Solomon is going to show us three ways that our lives are similar. And yet, again, as the broad theme of Ecclesiastes has been, our worldview will determine the way that we react to these situations in life. The first thing that Solomon wants us to see about life is the brevity of life. The brevity of life. And we see the shortness or the brevity of life in verses 3 through 6. Notice Solomon says, this is an evil that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. This is how Solomon reminds us that life is short. He says, we are born under the sun. We're all born into this world, and we are born with hearts that are filled with madness and with evil. And then we die. That's how you summarize life, according to Solomon. We're born, our hearts are mad and evil, and we die. Death comes to all. All must die. Death has been called the great equalizer. It is that thing that makes all of us equal at the end. Each person on this earth, each beautiful baby born into this world must face this reality at some point. We die. Take a moment to consider that. It's not one of those happy, I want to go to church and be encouraged things. But Solomon is not really into that. Some of you older members may think about this a lot. Some of the younger members may think that somehow they can still beat this thing. But it's the fact. We cannot. Solomon shows us that this is something that each of us have in common. The believer as well as the unbeliever. We die. When I was a kid, my grandparents lived in this little bungalow that was in between what was called Broken Straw Creek and the Columbus Cemetery, this little house wedged. We would go to visit my grandparents and we would sit there, and after a while we would get bored, as children do, and we would go out to explore. Sometimes we would go down to the creek and we would fish, or we would do things that you do at the creek, and other times we would climb this hill, this little ledge, up to the Columbus Cemetery. And often we would walk, my brother and sister and I, we would walk through the cemetery and we would look at names. We would try to see if we recognized any names. When I was a kid, I was struck by the fact that I didn't really know anything about these people. You have a name. Sometimes you have two names. You have a year that they were born. You have a year that they died. Sometimes there was a little design maybe that showed they were in the military, or some religious emblem, or maybe a Masonic symbol. Something that just tried to show something about them. A name, two dates. And what did I know about them? Nothing. They were dead. And for many of those people, that marker was really all that was left of their memory. We need to think about that. It's weighty. We all die, and it should leave us feeling a bit uneasy. You should all be uncomfortable right now. When is he going to move on? It should leave us uncomfortable. I live and I die and life goes on. And this is life under the sun. But it's not how it was intended to be. This is not how God designed man to live. God designed man to live in perfect fellowship, in perfect communion, and to live forever in communion with Him, forever in communion, even on this earth. In a perfect world, you would never have to bury a grandfather or a mother or a husband or a child. In a perfect world, we would live forever, because that was God's intention as we open those beginning pages of Scripture. But Solomon says, not anymore. Life is now summed up by that little hash mark in between those two dates on the stone. And why? It's because of that madness, that evil that he talks about being in the hearts of men. Hearts are filled with evil, and then men go to the dead. God's original intention was that man would be in fellowship with him. Yet man chose his own way. He rejected that way and instead chose death. He chose rebellion. God said, "In the day that you eat, you will surely die." So life under the sun is now a life of death, not a life of communion with God. But what Solomon wants to do is, Solomon wants to point us away from this death. He wants us to experience the reality of what possibilities there are. And that possibility is again communion with God, but through Christ. Through the one mediator between God and man, who is Christ Jesus, who came to bear that death for his people. To take that punishment so that we may live. So that we may experience that communion. So that when we die, we may still have fellowship with him. Look at verse 6. "He who is joined with the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have perished, and forever they have no more shall share in all that is done under the sun." Solomon is pointing us to hope. Every one of you, as far as I can tell from here, is alive. And Solomon says, as long as that breath is in you, there is hope. There is hope that God will come down, convict you of sin, and draw you to himself, and draw you in to the living. There is hope. Do you remember who Solomon is writing this book to? Solomon is this old man who's filled with all sorts of regrets, and he has been repentant, hasn't he? He's turned from that disgusting life that he has lived, and he is writing a book to young Jewish boys and girls. And he is challenging them. He's challenging them and saying, there is a better way. There is life. There is a promise that one would come to crush the head of the serpent. Pointing his hearers to that promise of life, saying, embrace this. And as long as we are alive, there is hope. Hope amidst the brevity of life. Now, the second aspect of life that Solomon wants to teach us is the enjoyment of life. The enjoyment of life. And this is found in verses 7 through 10. Now, I just think this is such an interesting part of the text because it's written in this form of a blessing or in the form of a benediction. And as you hear this benediction or this blessing, it leaves you uneasy. There's tensions in there. There's things that don't sound like they should be there in the text. So you visualize this blessing. Maybe you were at a wedding and there's the rabbi there and he lifts up his hands to the newly wedded couple and he pronounces this blessing that's in the text. Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that God has given you under the sun. Whatever you find to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Do you see the tension there? If you were at a wedding and somebody pronounced that blessing, you would think, does that guy love him or hate him? What is he doing? So we experience some of this tension in the text. We see that there are good things there in the text. There are good things that are mentioned that both the believer and the unbeliever experience. But at the same time, the words and the phrases, they do make it peculiar as a blessing. All the days of your vain life. There's no wisdom or thought or knowledge in Sheol where you are going. Sheol is the grave. It's the place of the dead. But as we look at this, we see that there are temporal blessings that and pleasures that the believer and the unbeliever enjoy in common here. Eating food with joy. Drinking wine with a merry heart. These are lawful things. These are not things that God is opposed to. Solomon says, God approves of these things. This enjoyment of life. Pleasures that Solomon sees as approved of God that we can share in common with the unbeliever. And then he goes on to say, let your garments be white and oil on your head. A reference to celebration. A reference to being clothed for celebration, enjoyment, festivity in life. He says, let it be always living this life as a life of celebration. So both the believer and the unbeliever are able to share in these enjoyments of life. You go in a restaurant and you look around to the table and you can't tell who's a believer and who's an unbeliever by the way that they're enjoying their food and their wine and their time together with loved ones, because these are common to men. We are called to have a thankful heart for what God has done. And how do we do this? This is where the division occurs. The division occurs as the believer looks at his bread and looks at his wine, and he thanks God for what he has done in his life, for giving him the opportunity to provide for those things. In Acts 2:46, it says that the early Christians broke bread and ate their food with gladness and with a generous heart. Gladness as the redeemed of God. Gladness because we understand that even the little things in life, like a loaf of bread or a glass of wine, can point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can point us to what He has done for us. One of my favorite preachers of the last century was Donald Gray Barnhouse. Some of you remember his radio program. And Dr. Barnhouse had the most incredible way of taking any ordinary thing on the planet and turning it into an illustration of Christ and of grace. And he was able to do this because he saw all things reflecting Christ, all things reflecting God. He could look at an object and make it point to Christ. And that is what Solomon is doing here. He's taking the common things of life and pointing them to God. We eat bread thankful for the redemption in Christ. We enjoy life with our spouse, knowing that that marriage itself is to point back to that relationship between Jesus Christ and His bride, and called to work with all of our might on this earth as part of that mandate in the early parts of Genesis, and pointing ahead to Jesus Christ, the one who did the work for our salvation on our behalf. Friend, Solomon is speaking in terms that do leave some tension in our mind. We want to leave that tension. We want to see the believer and the unbelievers enjoying something of life in the same way, but understanding that the one views life in a correct context, in submission to God, in submission to Christ, and the other does not see what life is to reflect. Christ-centered living. One Puritan said, a lack of joy in the Christian is not from too much religion, it's from too little. When we understand that we are to have joy in these little things, we are embracing this Christ-centered life. The third thing that Solomon wants to teach us about life is the unpredictability of life. The unpredictability of life. Verses 11 and 12. Again, I saw under the sun, the race is not swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those without knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all, for man does not know his time. Life is unpredictable. Sometimes the slow win the race. It's like all the popular sports movies, right? The one who wins is the one who shouldn't. Sometimes the bread goes to the fool. Sometimes the wealth goes to those who didn't work. We do not know what is around the corner in this life. We do not know the providences that God will give us. Recently, Lydia and I watched The Grapes of Wrath, the 1940 film. How were these farmers to know that their crops would fail? How were they to know that they would lose their homes? How were they to know that as they came out here to California that there would not be enough work for them? Life is unpredictable. We don't know what we are going to receive. And that experience of life happen to both believers and unbelievers. Sometimes life is great. Sometimes life is full of good things and celebration. But sometimes it's dark. Sometimes there is sorrow, and that's life. As Solomon has said, man does not know his time. We don't know when we are going to die. And then he gives the illustration, the fish is swimming along, the net drops and scoops up the fish. Or the bird is walking along and it is caught in the snare. And it's done. Solomon wants us to consider our lives. Consider how we are living, because we are not promised anything more. We are not promised one more minute of this life. And if you are in Christ, Solomon is calling us to live unto the glory of Christ, calling us to enjoy God. And this is going to cost us, because we must reflect on our life. We must put our life under the authority of Christ. And if we are not in Christ, if we have not yet submitted to Jesus Christ, He is calling us to Christ. He is calling us to trust on Him. Augustine said, may we have no rest until we find it in Him. And that is what Solomon is doing. He's causing us to reflect on what it means to live this life, this short life. And in service, we are to consider what God is calling us to do in Christ, because death comes too soon. Ask yourself, what is that desire? What is it that you would want to do? What is on your heart? What is God calling you to do? Because we are to do it now. Because that snare comes and that net comes. Friends, life is a breath. It is the hash mark between two dates. And how we live this life depends on our worldview, whether we are under the sun or whether we are in the sun. How will you respond to the brevity of life? How will you celebrate the enjoyment of life? How will you deal with the unpredictability of life? Friends, that's life. And consider what you would do with yours. Amen. Lord, we do pray that you would cause us to consider our lives and to bring them in conformity to Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are those among us who have not submitted to Christ, we pray that you would draw them to yourself. And for those who have put themselves under the authority of Christ through being called and converted and justified, Lord, we pray that our lives would be lives that reflect what God has done in us. In Jesus' name, amen.